It is great to be worshiping with all of you this morning. I am not Tom. Tom asked me to preach this morning, which I am so happy to do. I absolutely love preaching to this church family. I get to teach and talk to these awesome folks, these students here every week. So I'm thankful to do that. Thankful to be here this morning. If you've decided to spend your first Sunday of the year with us, that is a blessing for us. So thank you for being here. We're going to pray, and then we're going to just dive right into God's Word together. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you so much for who you are and for all you've done for us in Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word together as a church family, as your body. We ask that you would be teaching us, God, that today as a result of your word, that we would be closer to you, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. A man named Ronald Clay, several years ago, found himself in a bit of trouble. He didn't have the upbringing you'd think that would get him in trouble. Ronald had two parents who were present at home who loved him very much. He had a college degree. His dad was a Bible preaching pastor, and so Ronald heard the word preached every single week for so many years. So it was surprising when Ronald attempted to commit an armed robbery on a Brinks truck. It was unsuccessful. Instead, he found himself with 10 years in federal prison. In prison, it didn't get any better for Ronald. Instead of turning his life around from the get-go, he called himself the grimy man. He got stuff done. If you needed a cigarette, he would get you that cigarette. If there was something an officer had that you wanted, he would steal that for you. He was not doing any better when he got in prison. His life was a pattern of disobedience. But what went wrong? You'd look at his life and you'd think, there's just no way this should be him. His setup should not be like this. He heard the word. He had Christian parents. What happened? He chose not to do anything with those words he heard. He heard the gospel, but he did nothing with it. He heard God's word preached to him. He knew of Jesus, but instead of choosing to obey and apply and follow and love God, he chose instead to go against it, to rebel. He rebelled against what he called a strict Christian upbringing. He rebelled against God and wanted to do life his own way, which eventually landed him in prison. It didn't get any better after he became the grimy man. You see, his whole life he'd been pursuing and serving himself and disobeying and neglecting God's call on his life, God's call on his heart. He did it over and over and over again, so much so that the foundation of his life, the foundation of his faith, was very weak. And when news reached him in prison that his dad died, he broke. His dad had a brain aneurysm, and in his dying moments attempted to reach Ronald in prison, but was unsuccessful. And when Ronald found out that his dad had died and unsuccessfully reached him, he broke, even saying that day that he did not want to live anymore. His life came crashing down. When the storm entered his life, his foundation was too weak to withstand it. The foundation washed away, and his faith, which was on top, just was collateral damage and washed away with it. Ronald is not so different than all of us. Everybody in this room, including myself, struggles with imperfection, disobedience, and sin. Every way we do things, anything we do apart from God on our own strength, is not the way God intends for us to do those things. Romans chapter 3 says that there's no one who seeks after God, no one who does good, not even one. By ourselves, we are not good. The way we do things is broken. We need a better way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives a better way. In chapters 5 through 7, he gives a certain set of instructions, a way of living. And six times in that sermon, he says, "You have heard it said, but I say. You have heard it said that murder happens when you take the life of another, but I tell you it starts in the heart. You have heard it said that adultery happens when you commit the physical act, but I tell you it starts in the heart." He just transformed and changed how we viewed living for God. So many ways we're used to doing things, and the way in which we do these things and how we do these things and where we learn these things so often are not from God. And so Jesus gives us something better. He gives us a new way of living that is entirely about him. And so Matthew 5 through 7 is this amazing sermon, this set of instructions, a new way of life in Christ. Not the way the world does things, but the way he does things. And at the end of that sermon, he gives four warnings. The last of those warnings is an instruction manual, a call to listen and to do something with what he said. If you could, turn to Matthew chapter 7 in the New Testament. Jesus does not want us to be unprepared. These instructions, this instruction manual, these warnings that Jesus gives in Matthew 5, Matthew 7, are a recipe, a game plan for the future success of our faith, our relationship with him. So we don't end up where Ronald did. So that when something bad happens, our faith remains. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be prepared for the coming storms. So I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The last of four warnings. This is the conclusion to the greatest sermon ever preached. And Jesus ends it with a warning. And he essentially says, wraps it all up and says, you've now heard what I have to say. You've heard my words. I've just taught you for some time. You know my words. The wise response is to do them. Do them, and your faith will stand strong when the storms come. Don't do them, and your foundation is weak, and you'll be like the foolish one who, when the storms came, your faith disappeared with your foundation. It's a call to hear and to obey, because the storms are coming. The most precious thing we have in this life is our faith in Christ. And God very much cares about our faith. And Jesus wants us to know in this warning that storms are coming. So the main point I want you to get from this passage this morning, guys, is this. To avoid the future failure of your faith, obey Jesus today. To avoid the future failure of your faith, obey Jesus. Jesus today. There are blessings to obeying our God. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not by our own works. And even after we're saved, we don't keep our salvation through works. Everything we have in God is by the grace and the power of God in our lives. That is all him and that is not us. But when he saves us with that grace and we respond with faith, something happens. The capacity to obey opens up for the first time in our lives. Romans 3 says no one can do good. Not one person seeks after God. But when the Holy Spirit of God enters into our lives and the Holy Spirit changes us, we can choose Jesus. And we can choose to obey. Everybody in this room has that opportunity by the grace of Christ. Let's break down what he's saying here. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, which is you and me, will be like a wise man. And the wise man is the one who hears and obeys. Check this. When I was growing up, when I was younger, I used to think that the wise man was somebody who knew the word of God. Maybe could even say it. Maybe knew it so well I could communicate that to somebody. But that is just the half of it. Jesus says the wise man is the one who hears and obeys. The wise and the fool both hear. The difference is the one who chooses to apply what God says. And this faith he's talking about here is your house, guys. A wise man, someone who hears and obeys. And as you obey Christ, get this, your foundation in Christ gets stronger and stronger. Every step of obedience you take is like another brick laid in which your foundation is stronger and stronger. If you could draw an illustration in your mind, Jesus often goes through illustrations and parables and stories. And as he's saying this one, I want you to picture your mind the rock in the house or the sand in the house and the storms coming. And he says the wise man is someone who hears and obeys. Your foundation is your obedience to the Word of God. Your foundation is your obedience to the Word of God. And that foundation is holding up your house. And while your life and just the general strength of your being is assumed, is implied in this passage, Jesus is specifically referring to your faith. Everything in our lives is up for grabs. The people you love, the finances you have, the friendships you have, your own health, your own life, there is not one thing on this planet that is safe from a storm, a trial, a trouble, a tribulation. Everything is up for grabs. We can lose it all. And storms are meant to do that. The storms that your sin throw into your life, the storms that this world throws into your life, the storms that Satan throws at you, they are meant to steal, kill, and destroy. And everything can go. But your faith doesn't have to. Your faith can withstand every single storm that is thrown at you. In this passage, Jesus is caring about your faith. He is looking out for your future faith. He wants you to finish the race. And he says that starts today. And the wise man will do that by hearing and doing what Jesus says. Of course, the foolish man does the exact opposite. Like the wise man, he hears the words of God. He hears what Jesus Christ has to say. The only difference is he chooses not to do them. And so when those storms come, when that individual passes, like when Ronald's dad passed when he was in prison, when the difficulty comes, that weak, sand-filled foundation is just washed away, and anything on top of that goes with it. And Jesus says here, that's your faith. But he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the coming storms. And there is a way to avoid the future failure of our faith. And Jesus says, that's obeying him today. Because there are rewards when we do that. So how do we do that? How do we avoid the future failure of our faith by obeying him today? How can we do that? I believe he gives us a couple clear examples in this passage. Number one, and check this, to obey the word of God, you must know the word of God. That's pretty simple, but it's not always easy. To obey the word of God, you must first know his word. When Jesus says here at the beginning of Matthew chapter 7, anyone who hears these words of mine, what words is Jesus talking to? Well, specifically, he's talking about Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The sermon he's just preached to all the thousands who are listening to him. He says, anyone who hears these words of mine, we need to know those same words. Tonight, when you go home, I strongly encourage you to read Matthew chapters 5 through 7 because that is the direct context of what Jesus is saying. He says, we need to know these words and do these words to be like the wise man. So we need to get out there and we need to know what he's saying in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. That different way of living, the way that is anti the world, that is anti the devil, that is anti ourselves, and has everything to do with him. The world says to do things like this. The world says this is your purpose, this is your hope, this is what your life should look like, this is what your family should look like, what your hobbies and all your time in your school, this is what everything should look like. But Jesus says in Matthew 5 through 7, I want it to look like this. We need to know what he says so we can do what he says. But knowing Jesus and knowing the Bible, we know he doesn't mean just Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we know that God says that all of the Scripture, everything from Genesis to Revelation, is breathed out by God. It's all God's Word. 2 Peter 1:21 says that every prophetic word recorded in Scripture comes from the Spirit of God and not from man. This whole thing is the Word of God. And the more we know this, the more we can obey, the less ignorant and the more prepared we can become. Jesus wants us to know all of it, so by the grace of God, we can be obedient and prepared. Because everything in here has everything to do with our lives and every aspect of our lives. But we would be mistaken if we didn't go one step further and talk about the most personal meaning of what it means to know the Word of God. I want you to turn over to Ephesians Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. As I try to get there with one hand, I like using a mic. Verses 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of John, first chapter. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. To know the Word of God is not to just know the words written on this paper. These two passages make it pretty clear that the Word of God, to know it at its deepest meaning, is to know the origin, the author, the personification of these words, which is Jesus Christ himself. To know God, to obey the Word of God, you have to know the Word of God, and to know the Word of God at its deepest meaning is to know Jesus Christ himself. And we have the opportunity to do all that by the grace of Christ. We can't do a single thing in our lives. We can't obey without Jesus Christ. And if you want to know the Word of God, you have to know Jesus. When Jesus had died, was buried, and resurrected, he was walking with some disciples along the road. The disciples didn't know that they were walking with Jesus. And so they began telling him about some of the things that were going on. And Jesus, they had no idea it was him until he opened their eyes to see him. And then it says he revealed to them how the entire Old Testament was all about him. They didn't know that. They'd heard him teach for years. They watched him. They walked with him. They performed miracles with him. But it wasn't until Jesus revealed himself to these men that it made sense. They knew the Old Testament, but they didn't know him like they needed to and like they did then. To know the Word, to obey the Word of God, you must know the Word of God, which means, yes, you must know the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, you must know the Bible. And the more you know by the grace of God, the more you can obey. But more important than both of those, and what must come first, is you must know the Word of God made flesh, who dwelt among us and now lives within you, Jesus Christ. You have to know him. Second thing I want you to get from this passage today is this. Starting today, establish a pattern of obedience to Christ. Starting today, establish a pattern of obedience to Christ. I was recently encouraged with a phone call I had just not too many days ago. I received a phone call, and this person called me out of conviction, actually. They had made a mistake, and God's Spirit was working on them in such a way that they had to get that out. They had to confess. And so they did. They confessed. They'd already talked with God, and then they were talking with me, and then we prayed and made wise, faithful steps about how they can move forward and not make that same mistake twice, but instead pursue Jesus more and know what to do to not slip up again. And sure, a mistake was made, but a pattern of obedience began to develop. And I was encouraged by that conversation. Years ago, Lauren and I went through premarital counseling before we were married, and it was fantastic counseling. And one of the things that I struggled with, and unfortunately still struggle with in many ways, is selfishness. And they said that as a Christian, as a future husband, that I need to get out of this rut that I have developed every single day and develop a new rut. This rut that I'm in, that I was in every day, was I'd wake up and I'd immediately slide right into that rut of selfishness. I'm serving my own kingdom, my own life, before his and before Lawrence. And to be a married man, I needed to stop. I needed help by the power of Christ to get out of that rut and begin a new rut that was all about serving Jesus and his kingdom. And I needed to do that every day. If you know anything about ruts, especially up north where it's super wet and snowy and muddy, when you get a car and you get in a rut, it is very hard to get out of that rut. You need to just move completely away from it. You're just going to slide right back into it if you're too close, and you've got to start something new, a better path. And I needed to wake up every day by the power of Christ, say, today I am choosing Jesus. I am choosing to serve him and his kingdom, and then to put my wife before myself. Every day I had to do that and have to do that. Not that I'm perfect at that, I'm nowhere close. But that's the goal. Everyone in this room has a similar opportunity. We have an opportunity to get out of the rut, whatever rut we are in, and choose a different one. Starting today, to choose a different path, establish a pattern of obedience in Christ today. Not any one of us is perfect, but by the grace of Christ, again, what he has done and can do in our lives, we have the opportunity to choose him. If he's knocking on your heart and he says, I want you to go there, we go there. If he says, I don't want you to do this, we don't do it. If he says, I want you to talk to that person, we talk to that person. Or even some biblical examples, like when he says, don't take communion until you've reconciled with that brother or sister in Christ. We don't take communion until we go and walk over and we reconcile with that person. These small steps may seem insignificant, especially if they're just part this pattern of this disobedient rut that we're in. But when we step out and begin to obey him, even in these small, seemingly insignificant things, where it's just a subtle whisper of the Spirit in our lives, every single time we do that today, we are laying down a brick, another concrete block, which is firming up our foundation, which is going to prepare us for the storms that are coming in the future, because they're coming. Starting today, we establish a pattern of obedience in Christ by the grace and by the power of Christ. Some of you are in storms right now. Some of you have just gotten out of storms. Some of you know enough that storms are coming. Jesus said that many times in the New Testament. You will have trials and tribulations. The enemy will come at you to steal, to kill, and destroy. So many times Jesus warns us that this life is not going to be easy. It definitely won't get easier just because we follow him. In fact, we have put a target on our backs when we choose to follow him, and Satan has us in his sights. Storms come. But our faith doesn't have to fall. And if you're in the middle of a storm right now, you have an opportunity to break into the hands of Christ. Ronald, who I told you about earlier in prison, had it pretty bad. Mostly because of his own choices. But the day he learned that his dad had died from an aneurysm and unsuccessfully tried to reach him, Ronald broke. As I said, that sand-filled foundation just washed away. The little faith he had washed away. He said he didn't want to live anymore. He was done. But he fell into the right place. He fell into the hands of Christ. In that day, in that moment, he chose Jesus. He felt God calling him, seeking him, pursuing him, loving him. And for the first time in Ronald's life, Ronald chose Jesus. He said, I'm done. I submit. I surrender, Jesus. I am yours. And he was saved that day. God began to do an awesome thing in Ronald's life. He began reading the Bible every single day throughout the day. He formed a Bible study in prison that ultimately led to a regular attendance of about 20 people coming to hear him and what God was telling and teaching him. He began to create fundraisers and charities from within his prison with his prison mates so they could help children in need outside of prison. And years later, when Ronald was finally released from prison, he continued to follow the Lord. He went to seminary, married a godly woman, and now the both of them are serving Christ with their lives and with their marriage. Storms still come. His dad is still gone. But his faith isn't going anywhere because it is grounded on his knowledge and obedience to the Word of God, not just the words in the book, but Jesus himself. And so God has done something amazing in his life. No matter what our past, no matter what our mistakes, no matter what we walked into that door with, what we were thinking about just 5 minutes ago, or what's coming into your mind right now, you and I have the opportunity to just dive right into Jesus Christ. We can today decide, I'm choosing Jesus now. And every day, as tough as it's going to be, I'm going to carry my cross and I'm going to get out of my bed. And before I step foot from my own path, my own kingdom, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to put me in his. And I'm going to establish that pattern of obedience today and tomorrow. And then in the future, when the storms come, because they are coming, they may take everyone and everything, but they're not going to take me from him. The faith will remain. 2020 has just happened. The new year is here, and I can't think of a better resolution than to be resolved to choose Jesus in a new way. To start this year with him in our sights, with getting to know him and his word, but not just his word, who he is as our God, our creator, our savior. And instead of saying no to him and the small ways and the big things, to say, yes, Jesus, I am absolutely choosing you today and tomorrow. And I want to be with you. I don't know what kind of things you have going on in your life, but I know that God works and speaks and touches every single person who is his. If you are part of God's family, he is your father, and there's something he has for you. There are things that we can do by his grace to just get out of our own rut and to step into that new one that is all about him. Maybe there's a distraction in your life that was part of 2019, does not have to be part of 2020. Some idolatry, some temptation that you have the opportunity to just put it away. Maybe it's something on your phone. Maybe it is your phone. Students, children, maybe there's something that you need to say, something you need to do for your parents. Parents, maybe the same for you. Maybe your spouse, there's something you need to do, something you need to say. God's just been tugging on you and you know it's there and you have the opportunity to do it. Maybe it's finally making that decision to say, God, I'm choosing you first, and before I even get out of my bed, I'm going to pursue you. I don't know what it is, but I know, including myself, every one of us has something where God's saying, I have more for you. John 10:10, Jesus says that I have come so that you may have life and have that life abundantly. We can have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Right now, by responding to his grace, by responding to his love, by responding to his power, 2020 can have your best relationship with Jesus Christ, something you never thought imaginable, and it is simple. As simple as knowing his word and doing it. And when those storms come, you're going to be ready. That's not by your own doing. That's by his doing. But by his doing, you have the opportunity to choose him every single day. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. And God, in this